Blog Talk Radio.
Don't you stop, don't you run, don't you
big break, great sound on light, on light.
Times getting rough, especially when you ain't feeling the love. We need hugs. These uncertain times is getting rough. To make a day to day is getting tough. It's strange to see the thunder and lightning without the raindrops. Niggas drown themselves and they liquor until the pain drops. To be successful in this life is kinda tough, but I let you stand up under my umbrella till the rain stops. Cause hell, we all need some help at times. Just like these new rappers, they all need some help with rhymes. Don't get me wrong, I ain't dissing, I'm just saying that the game is watered down and the talent levels on decline. Gotta rap about money they know they not getting, then get mad when real rappers say they not spitting. They gave the game to the kids, and just like anything nice you give the kids, they fuck it up, and I'm not kidding. They took grown men off and put plenty teens on it. They took men clothes off and put skinny jeans on it. And all these youngsters want beef, but when it comes to due to time, I think they turn to vegetarians cause they don't want it. Living in these times getting rough, especially when you ain't feeling the love. We need hugs. These uncertain times are getting rough. To make it day to day is getting tough. Ago, I can cough, sneeze, and rub on my eye. Know if I do that shit too close to folks, they think they gon' die. Cause somebody on the TV told them viruses can fly. Here's a mask, cover your mouth, not your ears or your eyes. Matter of fact, give me 6 feet, go stand by the blue X. Stay in your house and do what you told, a nigga you next. But black people don't get that shit. Blacks are dying faster than everybody else. What's the very next statistic? But it's no coincidence. See, if it's bad, we gon' get it. The media pushing these numbers, but I don't know that many with it. Tim Murphy felt sick, but he was just losing his mind again. They said he had corona. It was just too many Heinekens with pre-existing conditions and bad food habits. They say you sick, you say I'm not. They say you asymptomatic and gave you stimulus to push this agenda, hoping that you remember when you show up to the polls in November. That's some bullshit. Living in these times getting rough, especially when you ain't feeling the love. We need hugs. These uncertain times is getting rough. To make it day to day is getting tough. We need hugs.
Getting crazy out there, man.
Whatever you do,
we need hugs.
Shit crazy out here right now, y'all. We need hugs.
Yo, check this out. This is DJ Sergeant Rock coming at you. You know what I'm saying? And when I want to get black, I'm getting black, totally black, with the Total Blackness Show. Right here on Tweety Bird Central.
Yo.
What's going on,
What's
Bird?
What's going on? What's happening?
Yeah. Present.
Rough day today?
It's been a rough year. Definitely. Dealing with some death close to me. Also, they just opened stuff up in Lucas County in Ohio, so just trying to get stuff done. But yes, it's been hectic. And then for those out there that are working, essential workers that are required by the state or the Board of Education's different places to get unemployment in Ohio, they playing. Like, that's it. I had one guy tell me on our governor's Facebook page to get another job. He obviously don't know what my career choice is to even say that. But, yeah, a lot of teachers, they said 900,000 people are looking forward to payments from December 20-something. I don't want to give you a bad date, but December 20-something of 2020, we'll start receiving payments as of the 22nd. They actually sent me a post-dated letter, which I've never received from Job and Family Services or a government entity, saying, we got you, we made a mistake, we got y'all, I know, and we'll start paying today, which is the 22nd, which was weird to me because today is only the 20th. So, yeah, it's been a trying mental day. I got a slight headache, but I took my herbs. I'm drinking me some tea right now. I'm on the show. I'm excited about our guests and some of the information we will be getting this weekend. So I'm in between. I usually be geeked up before the shows, but I'm here. I'm present.
Well, the one thing we do know for sure is we do not let our circumstances control our emotions. We are stronger people than that. I believe God to provide for every need that we have. All we have to do is ask. And, you know, we can't give up. We can't give up. The system is really screwed, and it's a lot of work to do. But there are people in place that are trying, and people like yourself and other people out here in the communities that are trying to change things. So you guys just hang on tight, and whatever you can do to contribute, please do so. If you can donate, please do that. If it's something you can say to uplift a black person on your way to work, on your way home, please do that. There is a lot of mental illness going on right now amongst our communities, and people don't have the proper resources, or they don't know how to go about getting them. So a simple smile or how you doing will take a person a long way if they're having a bad day. So with that being said, we do have our guest of the evening, Deontay Moss, in the building. I'm going to go ahead and bring him in here, Anton, so we can chit-chat. How you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm on a total blackness Saturday right now?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. Let's get it.
Welcome, 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 brother. I'm happy you're here. We've been trying to get you here for about a month, a little over a month now, and I'm very excited that you're here. To piggyback off of what you just said, Tweet, before we get into Bro, you are definitely right. That was the reason why I got into this work and many other people, because there was nobody to turn to when I needed services. I wasn't the bad guy. I wasn't, you know, trying to bounce back from bad circumstances, but the community and the country is set up for us to strive or fail. And I'm striving right now for me and others. So when they make a call, there is a resource. So yeah, I can't give up. I have no choice. But yeah, welcome, bro. I'm happy you're here because you're going to be able to speak to that. I learned your story. I'm going to let you introduce yourself, but let me tell them how I got wind of you. A lot of the sororities and fraternities in Ohio, I'm sure other states too, but I can only speak to the work that I've been doing. And a lot of the fraternities and sororities, the younger people, they are not for the old way of things and to continue on the post-slave mentality and a lot of things. So the Zetas, some of the Q Dogs, the Alphas, they show up and show out. And I was sitting there before one of the political events last year, waiting for a couple of the sisters to get ready. And as I was going in the kitchen to get a bottle of water, I seen a book on the counter, and it just caught my attention. And I was like, let me look at this right quick, because the cover caught my attention. And so it was a brother on the cover with praying hands. I believe a white beater, if I'm not mistaken, but just a normal brother, look like me or anybody else listening right now, the brothers who come from where we come from, but we're praying hands, and it was a book with a brother on the cover. So I picked it up, I sat down, I started reading, I got about halfway through the first chapter before they came in, like, you ready to go? I'm like, yeah, where you get this book from, or can I buy it from you? She was like, oh, I know, bro, I'm going to connect y'all on social media. And I was like, yeah, because bro got some things going on that I believe that the brothers in the community, black and brown, really need to tap into. Me, myself, being a person in the community that tries to serve and help, what I read, and I never did get to finish the book because I have been busy, but I need to order that from you before we get off the show when you tell us how to do that. But it really touched me in some mental places that I think we need to be as a community, And then I was informed that you have some other projects, and also the queen that you call White, she has some projects and how phenomenal she is. So we're going to get into you right now. I'm going to let Bird say a couple words before you start, Ro, but I am so honored to have you on this platform tonight on Total Blackness.
Absolutely, and I'm excited as well, Antoine. I don't have too much to say. I'm just excited to get into the interview and find out a little bit about Mr. Moss. So I'm going to step out of the way and let you take control.
Okay, so could you introduce yourself, King, and tell us a little bit about yourself? Who is Deontay Moss?
Well, I'm Deontay Moss, and I consider myself a spirit-led man, a man of God who loves being a husband. I love being a father. I have two daughters and a teacher. I'm also a teacher, a drama teacher at Rise and Shine Academy in Toledo, Ohio, and an author, an entrepreneur. Me and my wife do a lot of things together. We got the Moss and Marriage Movement, Moss Enterprises, which helps kids incarcerated find jobs so they don't have to go back to hustling like they used to. And Life Institute, who's been inside like many different schools, TPS and charter schools all over the city. So, man, we got a lot of movements moving. And, you know, I'm just letting God use me in every way that he sees fit for me to be at. So that's what I've been doing. We got so much stuff going on right now that we just trying to get it all out before we leave this earth. So, you know, that's me. That's Moss.
So, were you raised in Lucas County or in Ohio?
I was born and raised in Toledo, Ohio. Yep. Grew up in foster care. I lived in 10 different foster homes, 4 different group homes, in and out of foster care. Went to multiple different schools. Graduated from Springfield High School, but I spent 3 years previous to that at Sky High School. So, was able to go on, earn my associate's degree. Bachelor's and master's, but you were saying something. You were saying something to me.
Oh no! I went to Scott too. I said the dogs. Go ahead, finish. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Scott Bulldogs. Scott High. Yeah, that's. I went there. I got into some trouble there because trying to cope with the situation that I was dealing with, which is also in the book, where I talk about how I had to deal with my mom being addicted to drugs, but she also was a prostitute. And I also had a little sister that was being prostituted by my mom's boyfriend at the time, who was their pimp. So I used to hear stories every day about how my mom would be doing things for drugs. And most of the drug dealers in my neighborhoods were kids that went to my school. So I would have to hear about that all day. So I created a coping mechanism, which was class clowning, making people laugh. So I kind of figured at that young age that if I would make people laugh, they wouldn't talk about my situation. So that got me into a lot of different fights, a lot of different situations I shouldn't be in, because I guess the school looked at it basically like if, like for instance, if somebody was talking when I was growing up, so I was born in 85, but I graduated around 2003, 2004. But when I was growing up, you know, if nobody talked about your parents, what stayed in your house happened in your house, and that was it. You didn't let nobody talk about your mama. Your mama was like taboo words back in the day when I was growing up. Nobody could say like your mama or you had to go on their mouth. So
exactly.
So I would make sure, you know, like when people talked about my mom or my sister or whatever, you know, we would get into it, but maybe 3 people was talking about me. So I got into a fight with each one of those 3 people separately. They would say, I've been in 3 fights and they only been 1, so they would kick me out of school. You know, so that added up. So I eventually had to transfer schools to Springfield because they had a different credit system. It took me 5 years to graduate high school. I graduated high school with a 0.7 GPA. And the only reason why I remember that is because the valedictorian had a 4.7 GPA. And I was like, wow, this cat got a whole 4.0 more than me. I was like,
wow.
Hey. So,
wow.
But I think that's how God worked, though. He take those people that you least expect and put something in them, inside of them, to take them to the next level. And I believe my journey and my faith has got me to where I am today.
So were you always like a man of God during the time like you was going through that, where the classmates, your sisters, young teenager, young man, and then the young adulthood, were you always into the church, or did you just get into, you know, the word after, you know, adulthood?
That's a good question. I think it grew for me. I was introduced to church life at an early age because of my grandmother who took me in. You guys still with me?
We here.
Okay, yeah. I was introduced to, you know, the church at an early age by my grandma, because my mom actually left me. So early on at the beginning, my mom, who was addicted to drugs, and I had a father who sold drugs. And my mom, when I was three, my father went to prison. And I had two little sisters, too. I'm the oldest of two little sisters. I had two little sisters and me at that time. And she took me to spend when my father went to prison, she took me to spend the night with my who I call my grandmother, who I call Nana, and she never came back. But my grandmother, my Nana, was a very devout woman of God, and she always instilled in me that Jesus loved me, and we were very much inside our church at the time, which was Brady United Methodist Church. And I knew of God from an early age, but I didn't really have the relationship I needed to have with him until I ran into a mentor of mine that kind of led me, that kind of took me under his wing. And I never seen a man of God operate like the way he operated, and it intrigued me, and I knew I wanted to know God for myself. So not until like my teenage years is when I really was affected by my faith, but my faith grew because I always knew who God was. But when I got about around teenage years is when I really just full force just stepped into it. And then my faith just grew from there, man. And then just the experiences that I had where I know that he was present and in my atmosphere just led me more and more to him. So.
Yes, sir. Okay, so we're going to get into the things that I think the younger people need to know before we cross over to the threshold where you at now. What are some of the things that you were, like, honestly facing? You said you got into arguments and fights, but that's, like, you know, the whole cake. I want to get into the ingredients. What were the things that you were, you know, really facing and had to overcome before you could say, hey, I'm Mr. Moss. Hey, I'm this person, and these things won't define me. What are those things? And the reason I ask that is because the people who are listening, I've come to find when I talk to people, they say, hey, you're doing great things, or hey, you're this, you're that. And even I have to state that in a lot of circumstances just to make it known. But it's where I came from and what I went through to get here is really the meat and potatoes and what matters. So, like, what were some of them things as a teen that you got into to where you said, hey, God is with me and I need to really get my SHIT together? So, like, what were those things and when did that happen?
Probably dealing with my parents is one that sticks out in the forefront for me. Dealing with my parents, I had to realize early that I'm not defined by my mother's and father's mistakes. You know, even though my father was incarcerated in our prison, my mom was a prostitute on drugs, and she even prostituted with one of my little sisters. That trauma and that, you know, we had Johns come to the house. Like, people, these tricks were like, and if you know what a trick is, a John, somebody who buys prostitutes, will live with us in the home and things of that nature. So, like, just being able to deal with that and figure that whole situation out and forgive my parents, because a lot of people didn't expect me to forgive my parents because they understood why I would be upset with my parents. So when I was able to, you know, decipher all that and get to forgiveness, I think that's when the changing point came in my life. But my mom... I've met my father five times before I was 21 years old. And I remember one time seeing him at a corner store, and he didn't know who I was, and I died in that moment because I recognized him, and he didn't recognize me, and I was his son. I walked into that corner store, and I seen him. I said, I knew he had, you know, was in prison, and I recognized him, so I'm like, oh, he out. So I'm like, man, that's my dad. So So I'm like, hey, you know, I ain't call him dad or nothing, but I'm like, hey, what's up? And he was like, hey, how you doing, man, kid? You know, and kind of walked out. And I was like,
oh,
hurt,
my God.
Crushed, because he didn't recognize me. And he was my father. So that created something in me that hurted me. So the next time, like, you know, I saw him, I went to go visit my nana, my grandmother, and which is his mother, and he was staying with her at the time. So my nana greeted me at the door, and she said, hey, Deontay, how are you? And he, like a light bulb went off in his head, like, hey, son, what's up? Hey, how you doing? There's so much anger.
That's the kid from
came
the store.
Yeah, because so much anger came out of me that me and my father ended up getting to a fist fight that day. And that's when I learned the difference between a man and a kid, because my father got so upset that he was trying to greet me and call me son. I said, you're not my dad. You don't even know who I am. And he got upset. He started yelling and screaming, you know, talking like, you ain't going to be talking like this to me. And, you know, sometimes when people yell, they be spitting. You know what I'm saying? So he was yelling, he was spitting. Spit was coming on my face. I was wiping off. I told him to get out of my face. I was going to do something. And he said the famous lines that probably a million black parents told their kids, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. So much anger was in me. I punched my dad, I remember. And I felt like I thought I knocked my dad out because he fell to the ground. So where I messed up is I turned around, I started celebrating like, I told you, get out of my face. Huh? This man jumped up so quick. And, you know, my dad wasn't a little dude. You know, he's been a president. So I can remember.
Right.
That's what I was thinking. He was a solid cat.
There's different rules in there.
This cat snatched me up so quick. I felt like, man, he choked me.
Oh.
Until, like, a second of my life, I felt like. The whole time he was choking me, all I could think about was, like, how sorry I was, and I didn't want him to kill me. I was like, I'm sorry.
He was
choking me out, and I'm like, I'm trying to say I'm sorry, but I can't breathe. So he was like choking me out, and I felt like he let me go with a second left of my life. And the only reason why I think he let me go is because my nana grabbed these napkins and started hitting him like, you're going to kill him. You're going to kill him. Let him go. And I'm like, nana, grab a hammer, grab a broom, and tell him, don't hit him with the napkins. But that moment, that will be detrimental for me because God will make that situation happen again. I really wouldn't see my father after that. And then I wouldn't see him until I was grown. After I had went to school and I was in college, I just traveled the world. I was a father now. And I remember I had this car, and I was coming up to another corner store in Toledo called The Spot on Door Street.
Door in Collingwood.
Yeah, Door in Collingwood. And the crazy part about it is I pull up. What's that?
I said, I remember The Spot.
Yeah, The Spot. So I see this guy standing outside the store, and he looked like, you know, one of them guys that's going to ask you for some change. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you got 10 cents for a sandwich or something? You know what I'm saying? And he's like, what, 10 cents sandwich? Who are they?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you know how they be. So I get outside the store, and I haven't seen my father in years. I get outside the store, and I recognize it's my father. Now, you know, all this energy come back from last time I seen him. We got into this fist fight. So I'm like, I'm grown now. You ain't about to do what you did to me last time. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't really know how this going to play out. You know what I'm saying? So I see him, and he like, hey, you know, like, so I just kind of, like, walk past him because somebody else come in. I'm going to corner store. I'm like, what if he recognizes me? Is he going to fight again? What's going to happen? You know, what's it going to be? I walk out the corner store. My dad turns around, looks me dead in my eye, and recognizes me. and he starts crying. And he started telling me all the stuff that I did in my life that I didn't even know that he knew, because he wasn't even there. He started telling me about how he heard I went to college, how he heard about my sister would end up missing, and how he heard about my mom going to prison, and how he heard about, you know, what was going on in the house over there that I write a lot about in my book. And he was just telling me all the stuff that I didn't think that he cared or knew about. And he was crying the whole time. And he was like, I'm sorry I wasn't there. Can you just please talk to me? Can you call me? I want to build a relationship with you. And I was a little weary at first because I'm like, I'm grown now. It's too late. But then because of my relationship with God, I knew I had to forgive. And I had been watching Oprah shows, and she had Ayana Fix Your Life on there. And they would come up with these sayings, you know, forgiveness is giving up the hope that things could have been different. And forgiveness ain't for you. Forgiveness ain't for them. It's for you. You know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. And because of my relationship with God, I knew I had to forgive them. And I did. And it was one of the best things I ever did in my life. I kid you not. Because what the level that I took me to after that, what happened, my father started going to church with me. My biological father started going to church with me, and I would pick him up, and we'd go to church. And I had a conversation with my father that changed my life. He talked. One time we was coming out of church service, we got our praise and worship on, we got outside, and my father looked at me, and he said to me, he said, "Son, teach me how to be a man." And I said, "Excuse me?" And at this time, I wasn't even comfortable with calling my dad that. I still was calling, like, you know, saying, like, "Yes, sir," you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that.
Right.
But he was like, "Son, teach me how to be a man." And I said, "What you say?" He said, "Teach me how to be a man." That's what he said. He said, "All my life I had issues. I had things that I had to battle with. I had to deal with, and I didn't know how to deal with them. That's why I did drugs. That's why I sold drugs. And that's why I was in and out of prison." But he said, "You had issues in your life that you faced front on." He said, "That's the definition of a real man." He said, "Teach me how to be a man." And my outlook on my father changed that day, because I knew that I used to think that I always wanted to be successful. Even when I was in my situation, I knew I always wanted to be successful. But after all this stuff happened, I was thinking that I still would be successful, but my success, I felt like my mom and my dad was going to try to come back later, and I'm be like, "No, you should have never let me go." You know what I'm saying? So it was like selfish motives. But my motives changed that day after my father had that conversation with me. I knew that I was in my family to break generational curses, and that my success wasn't just for me. It was to go back and get my family, which eventually would happen with my mother too, in a whole nother situation. But that would be my biggest thing. Like, if I'm telling anybody about, you know, the hardship, that was probably one of the things that really molded me. And the same thing happened with my mom. Now, my mom prostituted with a little sister of mine, and my mom's boyfriend, who was her living boyfriend, was also her pimp. Now, my mother, it's all in the book. It was a whole story in my book, Push. But my sister ended up missing. My sister ended up missing because of all the stuff that was going on in the house. She got caught in a sex traffic ring, and she was all the way down there, and I thought my mom's boyfriend had something to do with it. I eventually ended up getting a gun, and I said next time he hurt anybody in my family, I was going to take him out. My mom ended up calling the police on me and all kind of stuff after we got into an altercation. I got into an altercation with my mom's boyfriend, and that's when I ended up moving out the house. But my mom, once everything was found out of the situation that was going on in the house, my mom and my mom's boyfriend had to do some time in prison. And my mom blamed me and my sisters, because she was addicted to drugs, about her being sent to prison. And a lot of people was like, "Oh, no, that's foul. That's messed up." And I agree with that. But when my mom was getting out of prison, she tried to contact me and my sisters, and I still got the same revelation that I got from God with my father, was to let her in and forgive her. And the way God did that for me is he was telling me about how my mom was sick at the time, and she was addicted to drugs, and people know when they wrong, and when they try to fix it and it don't go their way, they usually go back to what numbs them. My mom had time to sit in prison for a number of years to think about all the wrong stuff that she did, and she was trying to fix it. And if I would have pushed her away, she probably would have got out and went back to the things that she used to numb her crazy life that she had growing up and all the stuff. But because I feel like me and my sisters were able to forgive my mom, I think that's the reason, one of the main reasons why she's clean to this day. Because she was able to come out and we was able to still love on her and forgive her for what, you know, some of the hurt and pain that was caused in our upbringing, if that makes any sense. Does that make any sense?
It does. And the thing for you 80s babies, I need y'all to understand, because I was born in 76, so I'm in the middle of something that I need for you to research. The parents of the 60s and 70s, the community workers, they were turned into pimps, hoes, and gangbangers. They were originally our knights, our princesses, our, they would really come out at night and patrol the block. That's where you get a lot of the block watches you hear about. They would dress all in the same MC jackets or women's club jackets, and they would actually take care of the communities, and that was different races. When the FBI, the CIA decided that we were one of the greatest threats to Americans' way of life, they introduced guns and drugs and agents into the community to dope and to drug our parents, to give them coping mechanisms that were brand new, and once you took one hit, you were caught. So if you were listening to Motown partying, kicking it, the baby's crying, whatever, you were given a bump of cocaine. You were given a volume. You were given the joint of marijuana laced with some angel dust. And at the end of the day, our parents really need to be forgiven for one, just for their shortcomings. But we need to understand that, again, it was a very well-planned thing to destroy us. And the best thing about the Creator is, we have a you, we have a me, we have a Tweety Bird that's on the phone. We have a lot of people who are supposed to come out as zombies, as you see in the movies, and chemically dependent, the crack babies, this and that. But they only created teachers and doctors and what we were going to be anyway, comforters for the stuff we got to come out of. So I really got to claim you before we move forward. Go ahead.
Can I interject 1 second? I got to say this because it's on my mind and my heart.
Go ahead.
One thing I've noticed about the people of God, you have people, I believe you have people that are called by God and you have people that are chosen by God. And most people that are chosen by God have to do a specific thing before they leave here, and they have to do it. The people that are chosen by God, most of the time, at a very young age, learn to depend on God and God only. You have absent parents, which means it's teaching you early to not depend on human beings, because human beings are subject to change. And some of our parents was just supposed to get us here, and that's it. They wasn't really supposed to do nothing else, because he had that control. He wanted you to be able to depend on him and him solely for a reason. And I'm going to give it back to you, but I had to say that because it was on my mind.
I think that's true, yeah. Because I've heard that before. I was reading an article the other day, and it was this kid that was he was talking about how his because his father wasn't there is why his life wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And he was writing his father a letter, and he was like, because this is why I'm in prison, because you never was involved in my life, and you never did this, and he gave him a list of things that he didn't do. And his father said, how? I wasn't there. He said, you had to make a choice. And I know that's hard for a lot of people to understand, but mm-hmm. It's true, because you still got to be who you're supposed to be. It's another mm-hmm. story that I read that was talking about how two twin brothers had an alcoholic father. One was very successful, and one was not so successful at all. And they asked, why is one successful and one isn't successful? And they asked both of these brothers, why do you think you're in the position you're in, and why do you think you're in a position in. And they both had the same answer. They both had the same answer. They said because of their father. Because of their father is why he ended up successful and why he didn't end up successful. It's the way they took it. It's the way they took it and handled it what gave them two different demographics. We got to understand what's in our life, but we have to take it the way that we need to take it in order to get ourselves out of it. And I think because of my faith, I was able to do that because of that constant, you know, relationship and bringing God into my atmosphere. It caused me to be, and the people around me, the mentors, all the people that loved on me, my foster parents, all the people that imparted in me, my circle was which allowed me to not be a part of the statistics, but find another route and create something, create what I am doing today.
Absolutely.
That is.
I wanted to ask you one more thing, Mr. Moss. And this is just a random question. How old were you when you were considered to be the man of your household?
I got in foster care. My mom was eventually I was in foster care. I was taken from my grandmother and put in foster care. I survived foster care for a few years. My mom got clean and got us back, but she ended up falling again. And this time period that I was living with my mom and her new boyfriend, things started off cool for the first 6 months, but they eventually went downhill. And it's hard to answer your question because we didn't have rules, if that makes any sense. I was allowed to do whatever I wanted. Allowed to do whatever I wanted. I could stay out as late as I wanted, do whatever, and I didn't have any rules. And a lot of young people would be like, man, that sounds like a great life. Like, what? You didn't have no rules? You could stay out as late as you wanted? You could do whatever you wanted to do? But it wasn't. I fiend for structure. Because, you know, I wanted my mom to be clean. I wanted her to do the right things. I wanted her to be a mother. And I didn't get that. So I was able to make my own decisions from that early age, which is some of the reasons why the decisions that I made was not so great. Now, I got two daughters. I got a daughter 21, and I got a daughter about to be 18. I'm 35. You know what I'm saying? So I started early. But I planned my first daughter. Now, I do not regret none of my babies. I love my babies, and I'm so glad they're here today. But ain't no 14-year-old, 15-year-old kid should be out here trying to have babies. But I was for something. I was looking for something. I was looking for love. I was looking for, I felt like this girl loved me and she wanted to be with me and I wanted to be with her. And I knew my mom might be going to prison again. So I thought I was going to trick the system and they was going to let me stay. But that's how 15-year-old think. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I had the wisdom of knowledge that I have now. So, you know, I was able to make, so I had tears early. You know what I'm saying? Because I was figuring it out by myself without the guidance.
Right.
It wasn't until I got those mentors and those people, the circle that I needed, where I started to think correctly and figure the things out that I needed to figure out and deal with and cope with the pain and the hurt that I was dealing with growing up.
Absolutely. I ask you that question because it comes up a lot. With single black mothers expecting their children, male children, to become the man of the house. If the father leaves or if the father is not involved at a certain age, he becomes the man of the house. There's no way that a child can be a man of a house. A child doesn't know how to be a man. And it's a problem amongst the black communities. Single black mothers tend to do this a lot, but they don't. You never hear a mother say to a daughter, you are now the woman of the house. You will never hear that because she'll never take that position. So, you know, we just need to stop doing that, you know, because there's no way a child can be a man. And we need to stop putting children in grown people positions. And that was my reason for asking.
And post-70s and 80s, if you look a little bit at the statistics, it was just set up that way. 8 to 13 years old is when a young black male has to become a man. It is mathematically feasible in this society because they want to raise a slave society, which is from Head Start to school to the prison. And it's called the school-to-prison pipeline. It's very well known. But for black and brown males, this is the demographic. And how can you take the children and poison them? You have to distract the parents. No parent, I don't care who they are, will leave their kids to the wolves unless you dope them up. You shoot them in the arm with a drug, or you give them something that they take vicariously on their own. And so, like, for him to forgive them just out of his nature, a lot of us had to do that. But, I wanted to start there because my next question is, when did you decide, hey, let me write some of this stuff down? Let me capture this history on the page.
It took me 10 years to write this book, and that's the truth, because, I had the idea, like, around college time to try to figure it out and stuff like that, but I didn't know how to go about it, and it wasn't my strength. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a writer or something or anything like that. And I was trying to find publishers, and the hardest part of writing a book is writing it. That's just flat out, just writing what you want to say and project it the way that you want to say it on the paper. So it took me a long time to be able to put that together. But it took me another obstacle that I went through was just finding the right publisher, the person that I wanted to portray or help put out my story, which I never did find that. I ended up self-publishing and doing it all myself.
Oh.
It took me years to gain all that knowledge and figure all that stuff out, which this is my first major publication. I've written multiple books, but they never been majorly publicated like this book. Because I had finally learned the process when I was finished with this book. But I have other books that's coming out, but I'm just making sure that this one gets its due diligence for what it's worth, which it has. It's now becoming a curriculum inside some universities, so I'm excited about that. Got an interview coming up shortly that I got to do at Concordia University in Wisconsin. And, that this book will be a part of that curriculum. You don't know what God has for you or what God, the plans he has for you. You just got to make sure you're in position. I knew this was my purpose when he told me he wanted me to write this book before a certain age. And I will always tell my wife, I've been married 10 years now. That was when my wife always had me, what are you here to do? And I always told her it was this book. And God told me I need to make sure I get it out before I was 35, and I'm happy I did because it was on the cusp. I mean, I was on the cusp. I was like, and I got it out
there. Lord, where it's at. So how did you come up with the name Push? I think I get it, but I love clarity. So how did you come up with the name and settle with Push?
Well, I always liked the acronym Pray Until Something Happened, but I had a program called the PUSH program that I did in the school for a number amount of years where I was a behavior coach for 10 years while I was working with schools to reduce suspensions and safe school ordinances inside the school and TPS, which in the TPS community in Toledo. So I always knew that acronym, but I named it PUSH with the ED because I got a revelation from God that if I was going to have a prayer life, pray until something happens, that I need to be consistent at it. So that's why I added the ED. This becomes an everyday thing. It's not just pray until something happens. I practice praying until something happens every day. And a lot of people get that. And that really is what took me to the next level. When I started really praying and including God in my atmosphere and my decision-making, it took everything that I did to another level. Not only my life, my marriage, my businesses, everything. And a lot of people, and I know this is not traditional, but this is just my experience, a lot of people get prayer confused. I used to think that prayer was just something when you got on your knees at night and you closed your eyes, or in the morning when you wake up and you said, nah, lay me down to sleep. I pray, you had to be still. You had to have the prayer hands that I got on a couple of my book and stuff like that, and that's how you pray. that I realized prayer is just something that you can do throughout your day. It's keeping your mind. To me, prayer is keeping your mind on God, making sure that you include God with your decision making every day. And I include God a number of different ways, by praising him, worship him, talking about him, you know, just all kind of things. And to me, that's prayer. I'm constantly praying all day because I'm including God in everything that I do, which helps keep me out of a lot of trouble. I'm not perfect, but it helps me keep me out of a lot of trouble. But because of that conscious decision to keep God in my atmosphere and on my mind, that type of prayer has changed my life.
I like that you said that too, because I used to pray all the time, you know, like you said, on your knees with your hands, the praying hands. And one day I was at a meeting and I heard somebody say that, you know, oftentimes we pray, but we don't stay there long enough. We don't wait for an answer. We're going, and we're not waiting, spending that time to get answers and directions like we should. And that's a big thing that we need to practice. You know, your meditation in the morning, you know, get yourself ready for the day, and then just stay prayed up all day long, because, see, the devil, he don't take no days off. He's working constantly, and especially if you have a mission for God, he's definitely working towards you every day. He got a plan for you. So you have to be equipped. You have to put on the full armor every day, especially us as black people. We got to have on two armors. We got to have on two sets of armor. So I just wanted to say that to Anton. You want to take a break right here and come back and get information and all of that? Do you have any more questions?
Yeah, I got one more, then we'll take a break.
Okay.
So this is something on Total Blackness. I love to give information from our guests that you would have to go to college for or seek or just couldn't get. And one thing you can offer to the audience right now, you have to study the process on how to get published, how to get your life story, your ideas, and then those things to help all these kids, young men, and then seasoned black men. Because I'm 44, finna be 45. I'm not your average ordinary follower. I'm not your average ordinary guy. But your book caught my eye from cover to the chapter one to, like I said, I need to order that. So how, if a young person has been through some of the things we've been through, but we can give them a shortcut, what would be the advice that you would give them to get their ideas, their book, their whatever, their media or their art form to contribute to somebody's, you know, mental state, physical state, financial state? How would you say they should go about getting their work out here as far as publishing, sales, as far as teaching curriculum? How did you do that, and what would be the quickest way for them to achieve that?
I think what I needed to get done first was to write it. Before we worry about anything else, make sure you got that book written out on paper, because, you know what I'm saying, that's the only way, that's what you need in order to go through any other step. A lot of kids come to me and say, oh, I want to write a book or whatever. Yeah, but you got to have it done first. Make sure you write it first, and then everything else is pretty much easier after that. It was hard for me because I didn't know how to do it. I had to figure it out by myself. But now that I got the information, I'm going to share it with everybody that I know that want to know. You know what I'm saying? That's the easier part. The hardest part is writing it. Make sure you got it all written out of what you want to say, and then we'll worry about the editing, the formatting, the copyrights, and things of that nature. But write it out. Get that journal or whatever you got to do, and make sure you write it all out. And you don't even got to put it in chapter form. Just write it all out, what you want to say, how you want to say it. And a book could be 50 pages. It could be 100 pages. It could be, you know what I'm saying? You could put out, just write it out. Write out everything that you want to say. Make sure you got it on paper. That's the first main step. And that's the hardest part.
Okay. And we will be giving you Mr. Moss's information. I don't know how he wants people to contact him, but, you know, most of the guests here are for the betterment of the community as a whole. So make themselves available for questions, comments, or to help you on the right path. No one can just give you all the game, you know, make it happen for you. We have to make the steps and put forth the effort, but we are available. And that's all I had to say, Sweet. We could take a break and then come back and get the information on how to contact our guests.
We have some callers on the line, too. If anybody is on the line and they would like to speak with Mr. Moss, you can press the one button and come in and have a chit-chat. We're going to take a small break right here, you guys, and we're going to come back in just a few minutes, so don't go nowhere.
Hey, man, say, man, it's Mother Baby Spade checking in, man. Tonight, man, we will be live with Blog Talk Radio and Tweety Bird Central, so make sure y'all tune in, man. Tag a friend. Let them know what's going on. Tell them, man, some new hot artists in this motherfucker, and they're going to want to listen to it, so tap in.
I just be moving in silence. I just stay out the way. Yeah, put no trust in these niggas. These niggas got too many ways. Nigga, they stay in the way. Yeah, I just stay in my lane. Yeah, nigga be wanting to die. Yeah, I know too many ways. I just be moving in silence. I just stay out the way. Put no trust in these niggas. These niggas got too many ways. Nigga, they stay in the way. Yeah, I just stay in my lane. These niggas be wanting to die. Yeah, I know too many ways. If I gotta let this thing end out, I'm taking it straight to the grave. A lot of them used to the rap cap. That nigga did how I raised. Niggas don't slam your name. They but don't say the shit to your face. Don't say the shit in your face. No respect. Yeah, they nigga be knowing their place. Back then they were calling me young. Yeah, they just calling me Spade. I can go fuck with your hoe, but she ain't even my place. I stay with the chair like a turtle. Bitch, I'm winning the race. No, I can't talk on your gas. This shit should be having me fade. Grown man, super fly, Peter Pan. Patient wait, dedicated. 1, 2, 3, nigga, I'm next. Nigga know he a hoe, claim bold, nigga, you a flex. Play around with the comma, come see a nigga by the check. Yeah, check. I just be moving in silence. I just stay out the way. Put no trust in these niggas. These niggas got too many ways. Nigga, they stay in the way. I just stay in my lane. Nigga be wanting to die. I know too many ways. I just be moving in silence. I just stay out the way. Put no trust in these niggas. These niggas got too many ways. Nigga, they stay in the way. I just stay in my lane. These niggas be wanting to die. I know too many ways. These niggas be acting so spread. Like they be needs of me. My OG name was Ed. Now time to check you with dead. Nigga be getting off cases. He working the state in the feds. Might as well drop me your song. They gon' repeat what I said. You ain't no hunter, you ain't no gunner. Nigga, you know I'm coming. Feeling, but I talk a little song. Found pulling up with a hundred. And I don't do no flexing, nigga. You know that I'm dumb. And they shooting in the air, nigga. I'm trying to get some. I ain't sweet, I ain't friendly. Only trust in my pocket rocket. Oh, you thinking it's a game? I shoot you and your partner. Dressed in black, nigga, you know I'ma move off a salad. On go, being a hoe. Ain't no option, nigga. I just be moving in silence. I just stay out the way. Put no trust in these niggas. These niggas got too many ways. Nigga, they stay in the way. I just stay in my lane. Nigga be wanting to die. I know too many ways. I just be moving in silence. I just stay out the way. Put no trust in these niggas. These niggas got too many ways. Nigga, they stay in the way. I just stay in my lane. These niggas be wanting to die. I know too many ways.
Our team knows that the Black community faces heightened institutional and cultural trauma, epigenetic trauma, in fact, and we know that we must provide resources on those different forms of trauma. Black political education and then our healing-informed care curriculums are how we plan to shift this culture. Our second goal is focused on increasing engagement. We plan to boost Black voter turnout in key districts across the state by leveraging the relationships we build with individuals through our classes. We recruit them as volunteers to host canvassing and lobbying actions, and then together the Block staff, Block participants, and community leaders will come together to push for systemic change at every level of government the Black community needs.
All right, you guys, we are back. We are back. And Anton, I guess we could get information. And
Okay, because I definitely wanted to invite him back. I found out from one of the sisters that his wife is also an excellent writer. They are like tag team on so many great things. I would love to have both of them back, or just her back, either way, for an interview on a Saturday or a Tuesday, whichever one is more convenient for you guys. We have roundtable on Tuesdays. And Saturday's Total Blackness. But I would love to have you guys back and discuss some more projects you have, some more programming you have, and some things that she has going on. And if you could just give the people your email, any contact information, any upcoming projects or things that they can order and buy right now and upcoming, and just let us know.
Yeah, so my wife has the Habit Challenge Planner. And I have my book, Push, and that is on mossandmarriage.com. You can order my book, Push, or her planner on mossandmarriage.com. Also, you can cash at me, $19.99, and I can make sure I mail you a copy. And you cash at me the $19.99, I'll make sure you get your copy of your book. And my cash app is my name, Deontay Moss. But then also, my book is also sold anywhere you can get a book. You can get my book on Amazon. You can get my book on Walmart. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can even get it at the local library or eBay. So my book is sold wherever books are sold. So you can make sure you get a copy that way, too, if you don't go through mossandmarriage.com, which is where I sell the majority of my books at.
And that is great. Now, I would rather buy it directly from you instead of Walmart, because they're going to get their cut, and I'd rather you and your queen get the whole cut. So I'm going to buy it from y'all.
Okay, I got copies too, but we can work that out. I can meet you. You in Toledo, I can meet you and get you.
Yeah, I'm right.
And that way you have it signed. You have it signed.
For sure. I definitely want to do that this week.
Okay, yeah. Absolutely.
That's what's up. Okay, I want to know, did you take book title suggestions? Because I have a suggestion. When I was listening to your story, I just kept hearing Show Me How to Be a Man. I think that is a perfect title for another book. That is
and
it just kept ringing.
I actually second that.
Yeah. It just kept ringing. Okay.
I'm definitely.
I wanted to thank you so much for coming over here to hang out with us on Total Blackness. We appreciate you, and you have a beautiful testimony and story. It is so relative. I hope that you continue to bring in people for the kingdom as well as for change for our people. And we salute you, and you are welcome to come over here. Anytime you got anything going on and you just want us to shoot something out here for you, make sure you get in touch with Anton, and we can do that immediately. I guess that's it, Anton, on my end. And everybody, make sure you get the book. You know, because people need to start back reading. Y'all need to start back reading. Because I realize myself, being on the internet has made me very dumb. Like, some words I'm supposed to know, I question myself about it because I'm used to, you know, typing shorthand. So we got to get into reading and getting our vocabulary and stuff back up. Because I know myself personally, I'm speaking to myself now because I know nobody else is going through this, but I just feel dumber since the internet came out.
Right.
And that is.
And something else.
Funny
also, if you. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
No, I said it's funny because I got one of my good friends. He picked up. He was like, "Yeah, I got to get one of your books, man. I seen your book, Push Egg. Push Egg." I said, "Push, man? The book is called Push." He added. He called it Push Egg. I said, oh, man, come on, man. Yeah, man. I got my book, Push Ed. I said, the book is called Push. Prayer Until Something Happens Every Day by Deontay Moss. So you can Google that. You can Google that, and it'll pop up Amazon, whatever you want to do. That'll pop up for you. But he called it Push Ed. I said, what? Push, man?
Right.
Push.
And
one thing for sure, Amazon gives out free books all the time. So if you're a Prime member, like right now I got free books I can get. I can probably get that one because they owe me about 6 books right now. But I'd rather buy it from him personally and their website. But you can go on Amazon and order a book, and they don't have to send you the physical copy. You can buy a digital copy you can read on your phone just as well as you scroll Facebook. And a lot of people do not know that. So we can get back to reading, but we can still stay within the digital age. You can get the book as a digital copy, and it's cheaper that way as well.
So you get free shipping and handling if you got Amazon Prime.
Definitely.
That's what's up.
All right, you guys. Well, we are coming to the end of another Total Blackness, and we have truly been blessed tonight on the microphone. And, you know, we are over here on Saturdays, every Saturday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. You can come over here and check us out. And if you are interested in becoming a guest or something like that on the show, you can get in touch with Anton, and he is Anton Park Sr. on Facebook, and set up an interview, and we can get you over here and talk about some things. All right. Okay, y'all be blessed. We love you. And we're going to go out tonight on some Piccolo, okay? Can't let go.
Sunrise, sunset, life ain't been the same since you left. Winter, spring, summer, fall, four seasons of loneliness, that's for sure. Voicemails, long text. Stalk the IG to see what you post next. Ride around, 90s R&B, crying for you like I'm Jodeci. Biggest lesson learned to this day, you don't appreciate that woman till she walk away. She on the glow up while I was on the slow up. Uncle Bruce saying for years you need to grow up. I didn't know then, but I know now. I be damned if a man give my queen a crown. Own up to my mistakes, changes for the better. Change for the better if we do it together. Yeah, I fucked up, all facts. But that was the past, we can change that.
We can change that.
We in the present, our gift is given.
It was given.
Our future's so bright, we don't want to miss it.
We still want. A billion girls in the world, and all I want is you. And I can have a million cars, no one rides for me like you.
Remember phone calls lasted for hours. Hang up, call back after the shower. Messages back and forth through our friends. This shouldn't be the spot where our love ends, you know. Rose petals is all that you woke on. Rosé, champagne, get you in the zone. Run that bubble bath just like you like it. Rub you down to that get quiet. And all I do is think of you. Day and night like 12 hours do. Be the best thing you ever done seen. Have you coming back to back like the first and 15th? We had ups and downs, tell me who though. We ain't perfect, we gon' come up short. All we gotta do is focus on us. Me, you, and God is all I do trust. Before we change and go our separate ways, you convinced that things can't be the same. Search deep, let's make this complete. Is your life the same if it ain't got me? Yeah, I fucked up, all fat. That was the past, we can change that. We in the present, no gift is given.
A billion girls in the world, and all I want is you. I can
never
make me call, going right for me, like you.
Like you.
We should just.
Let you.
Okay. Yeah.
Good night.